eyes, but like a miniature Buddha.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Our number, 321-1670 or *123 on your U.S. cellular phone. Join us on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/forwardwithKurtBarron or Twitter @forwardwithKurt. It is Friday, which means it's time for our Mind Your Business segment. I am joined this morning by Leslie Peterson from Amsterdam. Good morning, Leslie.
Hi, Kurt. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome to have you here. I've known you for
A long time.
How many years has it been now?
I think it was when you first came to town, when I first opened my store downtown, because I was quite active with your sister station, JJO, with a lot of their promotions and things. And I met you at one of the little
rock stops or one of our remotes. And it was, you were doing concert promotion. At that time, concert tours, what exactly?
Correct. Yeah. I took my business on the road. That's how I started my business. I took my little jewelry business out on concert tours so I could travel around and have fun and make money at the same time. And it grew my business and allowed me to establish my stores.
So I've known you. I'm just trying to just kind of ballpark it here. How long? It's been at least 12, 13 years.
Correct.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it's been a long time.
Correct. I want to say that you were one of the first people I met at JJO at one of the first stops. And that's when I started my store on Gilman Street, was 1997.
And we've been friends ever since, Leslie. I remember you brought one of the first things you ever brought me. You brought me some awesome heart balloons this morning. Thank you for that. But you brought me a shirt, and it was the Fender logo, but it was the F word, not Fender. It was the F word. And
correct.
I wore that thing everywhere. I wore it on vacations. I have like vacation pictures in that shirt. And my wife always just shakes her head like, that damn T-shirt. And I wore it to shreds. I mean, I love that shirt.
But she likes the T-shirt I gave her recently with Broken Heart Wisconsin.
Yes.
And
which she looks great in.
I know. She looks great in everything, actually.
It's a great shirt. It's our five-year wedding anniversary, Nicole and I.
Congratulations. So exciting.
We've got you in. We're going to talk a little bit about your political activism because you are definitely a political activist here in the Madison area. I don't think anyone would be shocked by that statement.
No, that's not a secret.
But we do have you in to talk about Amsterdam. You have two locations, 447 West Gilman Street and 917 Williamson Street, or Willie Street, as we call it here in Madison. Let's talk about the political activism and just get that out of the way and talk about that. You've been a big part of the Capitol protest. You set up shop at Walkerville when that was going on. Kind of just talk a little bit about that, how you got involved in that movement, because you have been a big part of it.
Well, I went into the Capitol in February. I was up there. I was not there on February 14th, which was the first day that the students delivered the Valentines to the governor. But on February 15th, the students from East called for a walkout. And my son is a student at East. And he told me that he wanted to walk out. I, of course, gave him permission because I thought it was a really valid reason to walk out of school. And I was up in the rotunda when the kids from East came in. There's a really awesome video on YouTube. All the kids from East, I mean, there were several hundred of them. I want to say 600 or 700 coming in. Everybody was cheering and applauding. And to be honest, after that, I checked in with the TAA because I'm a former member of the TAA. I was up at the university for many years and just asked them what they needed assistance with. And they needed help with supplies and hand sanitizer and just getting things under control. And I kind of became one of their little gophers during the occupation. And then I met a lot of people and
it grew from there.
Well, there's a lot to be done.
There is. There's still so much to be done. My
Every
wife
day.
Was there when the students from East came walking up East Wash, and she said she teared up. It was such a, because that was the very, very beginning. And it was kind of like, is this going to take off? Are people going to stand behind us? And to see those kids coming up East Wash with the police escorts and stuff was a very powerful moment, and I wish I could have been there for that. I was here, unfortunately. But
well, when you think about the protests coming out of the younger generation, it was the TAA who brought it to the forefront the week before, and they actually had a demonstration on campus on the 13th. Then the students, the UW students with United Council and everything, delivered the Valentines on the 14th. Then all the high school kids started getting involved. I mean, that was really the reason the protests actually took hold so much, because without the schools, the teachers and the students involved, people kind of just go about their daily life. And that that's not, we needed to stop. We needed to get up to the Capitol. We needed to address the situation because this is our future. This is the next generation.
All right. Leslie Peterson from Amsterdam joins us this morning for our Mind Your Business segment. And let's get into your business. Amsterdam, once again, two locations on Gilman Street and Willie Street. Tell us a little bit about your business. Tell us about Amsterdam.
Well, Amsterdam started as a jewelry business that I would take around to different street festivals and then eventually concert tours and just sell jewelry and little trinkets and little woven bags and things like that. And it turned, when I got my location on Gilman Street in 1997, I introduced the wigs, the colored party wigs, because nobody in town was really doing them. And I knew that Halloween was a huge part of downtown Madison. And I got these really beautiful, nice, high-end wigs in every possible color. And they were very affordable. And we had a store and we let people try them on. And the rest is history. I sold so many wigs that first year that it paid for my rent for several months. And I just realized that I could introduce new products into my store and just kind of grow my business the old-fashioned way, which is paying as you go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
it was more it was more about the wigs than it was the jewelry. The wigs really helped your business take off.
It was really the location that I was in downtown Madison, and Madison's a huge Halloween town. And mm-hmm. I love Halloween. I always wanted to do a haunted house, but it's very, very expensive, and there's a lot going on, and not really the right metro area for a haunted house in Madison, I don't think. And so first it was the wigs, and then it was a lot of makeup, and then it was costumes. And now it's just, I mean, one of my mottos is Halloween 365 days a year.
I was just going to say that. That's actually kind of the slogan for
Correct.
The store.
Because you can come into my store every day. I mean, we're super busy right now, but you can come into the store every day and find something to create a different persona so that you can go out that night and be a different person, which is what everybody loves about Halloween.
Yeah. Is there a story behind the name Amsterdam? Or did you just visit there once and say, I love this place. I'm going to call my store Amsterdam.
It is sort of like that. When I was starting to do the concert tours in 1994, I did Lollapalooza, and they asked me what name I wanted to assign to my business. And I had been paying my sales tax under a Indian word from Guatemala, because that's what I was selling at the time, mm-hmm. woven bags and jewelry from Mexico and things. And it just, people couldn't pronounce the name, so I wanted to choose a name that everybody would remember because they were going to put a big banner over my booth. And I loved Amsterdam. I remembered when I went to Amsterdam, I loved that feeling that everybody is included. Nobody's on the outside looking in, and kind of everything goes with civility. As mm-hmm. long as you're polite and proper about it, it's okay. And I just thought, oh, that would be a great name. We're kind of tolerant of a lot of different lifestyles and people's, you know, the way they want to live their life. And it stuck, and people liked it.
I like it. I've never been to Amsterdam. My wife has been there. She had such a good time there. She never made it to the Anne Frank house. There were so many things she didn't do because she had so much fun in Amsterdam.
It's a lovely place. Everybody is so friendly, and they just, so much culture and history. And gosh darn, if you ever get there, go in the spring and you'll look across those tulip fields, and it'll be tulips for as far and wide. It's just incredible.
One of the places I want to go to, and it's also close to Germany. I want to go to the homeland and check that out. So Amsterdam and Germany, I could do, if I could take a 2-week trip, I could check both those places off.
They share a border.
Jack, did you have something? I saw you creeping up to the mic.
I have a question for Leslie. When I went to Amsterdam, your store 5 years ago, I remember we went in because salvia was advertised, the now mm-hmm. illegal mm-hmm. smoking substance. And we go in there, and it's just the most bizarre place I've ever seen. There's wigs. There's all kinds of.
It's easy to freak Jack out. It's about as white bread as the. He rolls his eyes.
It's an alternative general store.
Time out. I asked this clerk, and she was this kind of, you know, I don't know. I asked the clerk, I said, what is the clientele for this store? And she looks at me and she says, Madison's underground fetish community.
Yes. It's a response to that.
Well, it's true that the fetish community was instrumental in purchasing the wigs mm-hmm. and some of the, you know, costume elements. I mean, I sell high-end clothing from a couple of retailers on the West Coast that certain people would only wear on Halloween, but there's a lot of club goers and people in Madison that want to dress that way every mm-hmm. weekend. And yes, that they the fetish community was instrumental. I'm not an adult store. I don't have anything inappropriate in there. There's several other adult stores in town. For example, I send a lot of people to A Woman's Touch.
Who we just had on a couple of weeks ago.
They're lovely because they're right up the street from me on Woolley Street, and I'm not an adult store. I sell clothing, I sell wigs, I sell makeup. Anybody comes in for any adult products, I send them right up the street. But it is an alternative general store where any age group is allowed.
And there is a big fetish community in this town. I mean, the bar, the Inferno, really caters to those people.
Correct.
It's just, yeah, it's a university town. There's a lot of culture here. And, you know, gays and lesbians are absolutely a big part of the environment here, absolutely accepted in this community. So there's, yeah, there's a, definitely an alternative culture and an underground culture here in here in Madison.
Madison's very, very, very tolerant of everybody. It's a lot like Amsterdam in that respect. It's like a little miniature San Francisco. A lot of people have compared it to that. People are tolerant. People don't butt into people's bedrooms. People want to be respectful of other people's choices. And I was just fortunate enough to know what to sell to them. It was really just more about, it's all about being in the right place in the right time and learning when to say no.
All right. It is our Mind Your Business segment. I am joined by Leslie Peterson from Amsterdam. She has two stores, two locations, 447 West Gilman Street and 917 Williamson Street. And we just kind of talked about your clientele. I'm interested, do you see more women in your store or more men? Or is it kind of equal amount?
I see a lot of women and I see a lot of men. I definitely have more products for women, but I do get a lot of men in there buying for the women in their life. And I have a substantial, I mean, I have enough men's clothing and t-shirts and things like that, jewelry, that it's about half. It's about 60-40, women to men.
And for people that don't know, Amsterdam is kind of a hard store to describe, but you do cater to the underground fetish community, but also people that just are interested in alternative things. I mean, wigs, jewelry. What else do you sell at the store? I know that you do have union products, union-made products, t-shirts and stuff like that. Maybe kind of touch on that stuff.
Correct. Well, this year in February, I started, or it was about March, I started carrying a whole line of union-made products, t-shirts, buttons, and stickers, so that people could express their interest in our political situation in the state of Fitzwalkerstan, or as I like to call it, Fitzwalkerstan. I'll call it Wisconsin someday again.
Yes, let's hope.
But and that's been very well received. But to be honest, we just have everything. I have very high-end corsets. I have less expensive things. I have high-end clothing. And then I always try to offer a more reasonable counterpart. But I will say that there's not a lot of tacky dollar items at my store. I've kind of wanted to get away from that. There's like other stores in the community that cater to the less expensive things. I have a more of a higher end product, but that's at a reasonable price point. Some things we just can't keep in stock.
You know, I love the store and I love this community, and that's why I wanted to start this Mind Your Business segment. There are so many unique, quirky, different businesses that have been around forever, that have been able to make, you know, businesses, people that have been able to make a living with some of the most off-the-wall businesses because of how great this community is and how supportive we are of the buy local movement, of buying stuff from that's made and produced and created here.
Right. And we were just noticing that with the Woolley Street reconstruction. Woolley Street was under construction from April until about a week ago. And people were really, really concerned. Now, I'm fortunate enough to have two locations. So what I noticed was my business was actually did not suffer at all. More of my customers just went to my downtown location because it was more easily accessible. So my numbers actually grew during the Woolley Street reconstruction. But even for the Woolley Street store, people were just very loyal. People kept in touch. People parked half a block away. People walked up. It was just, it's just an awesome community. In fact, I don't think my business would have ever survived in another community. I've lived in a couple of other places. It just wouldn't have been allowed to thrive the way it has here.
And you know, what do they say? What, how many miles surrounded by reality? That's fine.
25 square miles.
25 square miles surrounded by reality. I'm fine with that because we all do. You know, my father has told me that before, and I'm like, Yeah, that's fine. Put up a wall around Madison. Yeah. That's fine. We'll live. We'll survive and be happy here.
I don't want to go anywhere else. I'm very happy here.
So what did it take for you to start up this business, to start up Amsterdam?
Well, I started in the late 80s, and I started with $50. And I just managed to find a product that I could take that $50 and turn it over and reinvest it. And I kept doing that and doing that and doing that. And eventually I got stores and I had to use my credit cards and things. But I've always adhered to two rules. And one is I've always had my career. I'm a medical interpreter and I was a Spanish teacher for many years. I'm completely bilingual and bicultural. And that skill allowed me to always work, even when times were tough with the business, even on a part-time basis. And I've always really tried to pay as I go or pay the bills at the end of the month. Because one of the secrets with a very, very small business is it's not about how much cash flow you generate, it's about how much debt you create for yourself. You really have to do it the old-fashioned way, the way people did it before credit cards existed, which is pay as you go. You get a shipment of things, you pay for them, then you sell them. Too many people in retail operations just think that they can put everything on a line of credit and then the bills will be paid at the end of the month. And then if the economy tanks or construction happens or you're laid up and you can't work, it just doesn't work like that. So I've been very fortunate. I've always worked. I've always had a real job. And I've always been really careful about my spending.
You know, I guess as long as I've known you, I didn't know that you were bilingual, that you were a Spanish teacher for a while. My wife is. I'm sure. Have you two ever talked about that? Because that's pretty amazing. That's exactly, my wife's a Spanish teacher. Yep. Well, she's not a Spanish teacher now. She's a bilingual resource teacher. So
correct.
She works with the English as a second language kids. But yeah, she's very fluent in Spanish, and that's very interesting. You two have that in common.
Yes. I mean, I lived in Central America for a few years, and that really, really helped. It was when I was 19, and I just can't imagine my life without being bilingual, because it's allowed me for the last 20 years to really allow my business to grow, because there's always work if you're bilingual. It could be interpreting, it could be translating. For many years I was a faculty assistant, then I did medical interpreting, which is very, very part-time if you choose to make it that way. And you know, just another skill. And I believe I talked to Nicole very briefly once in Spanish and kind of surprised her.
Yeah. It's one of the things I really regret not doing in, aside from piano lessons when I was really little, I wish I would have stuck with those. I think a lot of people regret that because I thought it was too cool for piano. Now I wish I could do it. Was not taking a second language. I did take German for like a year. It never stuck with me. But yeah, being bilingual, especially in Spanish in this country, is a skill. You will always find work if you're bilingual.
I know.
Always.
I just made my son in high school start in seventh grade. I'm making him go into college and get the retro credits. It's just, you know, he doesn't like it quite as much as I do, but it's such an important skill for the future.
Yes.
That's one demand I've made. I didn't force the piano on him, though. He did not want to do piano.
Yeah.
I said, that's fine, as long as you do Spanish.
You should never push anything on kids.
Correct.
My parents never did either. Those are two things I wish they would have pushed on me, though. So you kind of gave a few tips for people that may be interested in starting their own business. Two of those things, don't put yourself into debt. Don't put everything on a credit card.
Yep.
That's not good. A few more tips that maybe people that are listening like, I really want to start a store, but I don't know how to do it.
Well, it's really, really important to not only keep your day job, but write a solid business plan. People, you can get a book at the library about how to write a business plan, and you can also consult with people. So many people have really, really awesome ideas that are needed in the marketplace. They just don't look ahead for 1 year and make the necessary steps with which to succeed, which is what the business plan does. The business plan shows you how much money you're going to need, how much your anticipated revenue is going to be, if you're going to need to set aside a budget, and what that budget includes. And I think people need to be very careful, especially in these times. Banks are not lending capital like they used to.
No.
And a lot of people don't even have the credit cards they used to. And I it's really, really, really important to keep your day job, have a savings account. Don't ever plan on a business in the first year supporting you. You really have to keep your day job or have a partner that helps you or a family, another family member. It's really important not to have a lot of consumer debt of your own when you try to open a business, because not only does that affect your borrowing, it just is too stressful when the money does not come in from the business and then you have all these personal debts to pay. So people need to be super careful. You can be very successful in it, but the number one mistake people make is that they go into debt and then they don't know when to say no. You have to have a really good feel for no, that's not the way it's
going to
be.
Credit cards, it's not free money. As a matter of fact, you're being robbed. They are absolutely robbing you. I had a credit card when I was younger, $200 limit, and I think I bought some concert tickets on it. Bought a pack of smokes and a six pack of beer. I paid the minimum payment on that thing for like 4 years.
Correct.
They got like eight times the amount back, probably more, probably like 20 times the amount back.
It's a big racket.
It is a big racket.
It's how they're making money. That's their business.
Exactly.
Is to make money off you. You have to come up with a business where you're paying yourself, basically.
And credit cards aren't bad. I mean, they come in, they do have a use.
For emergencies.
For emergencies. But they're not, if so many people, oh yeah, well I've got, we could just put it on my credit card. Well,
it's not money.
No, it's not
credit.
Money. Yes, it is credit.
When I learned that, it changed my life.
So what would you be doing? We've got to wrap this up real quick and get to news, but what would you be doing if you weren't the owner of Amsterdam? If you could start up another business, what would that be?
If I could do anything I wanted, I would have a foundation designed to assist people, to empower them to be able to make the correct choices politically and for their rights. I really want to establish a First Amendment foundation.
Okay.
And in the future, I hope to do something like that. I like foundations and community groups where you allow people to empower themselves. Mm-hmm. You just have the resources, you have the space, you give them the information. So many people can help themselves if somebody just takes the time out of their day to say, hey, you can help yourself if you do this. And I'm just a people person. I really want to help people. And I would definitely do something community-based. And I actually intend on doing that within the next few years.
I could totally see you doing that. I really could. Leslie Peterson from Amsterdam. Check out her two stores, 447 West Gilman Street, 917 Williamson Street. And you are online on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Yes. And I have a business page called Amsterdam Madison that you can go to if you're on Facebook. You can like it. And all of my Union products are for sale on there under the tab.
There's some pretty cool stuff there, too.
Union teas. I know. Thank you very. I've been very, very blessed in this lifetime.
I have. I actually quite frequently wear the Liberate Fitzwalker stand with the Recall Walker on the back. I love to grocery shop with that shirt because you get some interesting looks and you get some thumbs up and winks like, hey, man, I'm with you. So
one of my best sellers. And it was my son's idea. That was his idea. Liberate Fitzwalker stand. As soon as Mark Pocan coined that term, my son said, let's liberate Fitzwalker stand.
All right, Leslie, thanks for coming in. And
thank you very much
I'm
for
sure we'll be
me.
Chatting again. We'll know each other for another 14 years.
I hope so.
Onward and beyond. So
yes.
Thanks for coming in. We'll
pleasure.
Be right back here on Madison 1670 WTDY.